Hello, everyone. Welcome to Nothing But Now, Mindful Living with me, Dr. Mary Angela McGuire, on Transformation Talk Radio. During this show, I'll help you practice mindfulness. Most of the principles of mindfulness are very simple, but putting those principles into practice can be devilishly difficult. I'm here to help you become a student of your own mind. I'll share ideas, insights, and tools you can use to release yourself from fearful and negative thinking and live from a place of clarity and confidence. Please join me as we challenge ourselves to change. Nothing But Now starts now. Hi, everyone. I'm Mary Angela McGuire, and you're listening to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio. Thank you so much for joining me today. So today's topic, the words I used for it is back to basics. That's the topic. Why back to basics? Well, back to basics of mindfulness. What are the core principles or ideas or concepts that I've been talking about in these podcasts over the last few months? And why am I doing a back to basics show? Well, two reasons, really. One is next month will mark the sixth month that I've been doing the podcast, and I've had a great time with it. It's been a very challenging experience. It's pushed me right the heck out of my comfort zone over and over again in a number of different ways. But 6 months seems like a time for a check-in, and I'm hoping for a little bit of a reset. I'm going to try some different strategies with this show in the coming months. So something to look forward to. But I wanted to take this opportunity at this kind of turning point to talk about what we've been talking about on and how it is that I'm hoping that the concepts we talk about on the show are helping you in your mindfulness journey, which is, of course, the purpose of the show. The second thing is related but different, which is that 2020, right? Every time we turn around, it seems as if either somebody's making a joke about how could things get any worse, or how much more could happen in one calendar year. It's not funny, is it? Some of the things that have been happening, or some of the ways in which people's lives have been turned upside down. And I just want you to, just stop for a minute right now and ask yourself, how was your life different a year ago? Right? Same day, September 24th, right? 2019. How was your work life different? Were you working from home often, ever? Was the place where you work, if you still have a job, and I hope that you do, was it organized the same as it is today? Right? What about your kids? Do you have kids who are school age? What was their life like a year ago? Or what were you anticipating that life would be like today? Maybe you were going to send a kid off to college, and maybe you have, but he's still sitting in your den at the computer every day going to college. He's not off on some leafy campus somewhere else. So a lot has changed. Places you used to go to shop or to eat or to socialize, people you used to see on a regular basis. And, my examples here are really the easiest examples, right? Those of us who still have jobs, still have homes, still are able to see or be in communication with people, right? But what about all the people who have lost all of those things, who've lost loved ones, who have lost jobs? I think about some of the clients I've worked with. I know they are aware of and grateful for all the privileges that they have, but they're still being pulled in 1,000 directions as they work from home and at work, as they deal with kids who are in school and not really in school. They're the teacher and they're not the teacher. They have loved ones far away that they can't see, that they're used to seeing on a regular basis. They know all of the ways in which they're lucky to have what they have, and they're still mourning and struggling and fearful in response to everything that has changed. And wow, that's just the pandemic, right? What about our conversations about racial reckoning in this country and really worldwide? Urgent conversations, important conversations, but also so much loss, so much pain, so much unfairness. And one of the things I think that comes up in this conversation about 2020 is it worse? Or is this the worst of all times, right? Has the world ever been in a worse state? And I think it's an unhelpful question. I'm just going to say that off the top, because we don't know. I didn't live in the Middle Ages, right? I didn't live during the the Civil War era in this country? I don't know. I know it's hard now. I know it's incredibly hard and painful for many people now. And I think the only thing I want to say more about that is that it doesn't matter if it was worse before or it's worse now, it's bad now, right? There's a lot of pain, there's a lot of suffering, and there's a lot of opportunity for us to talk about what's happening and maybe to do so in a way that is constructive and helpful. And I mean this regardless of where you are in a political spectrum. And the reason that I think that mindfulness is so important as we deal with all of the fragmentation and polarization and challenges, the wildfires that are not just, you know, a natural occurrence, the incredible strife in our neighborhoods, in our towns, in our countries, around the world, I think because peace matters, right? Peace is important. And I believe that mindfulness practices allow us to create for ourselves internal peace. And when we do that, we are better able to then bring peace into the world. I think that if I am in turmoil inside, I am not fostering peace in my community. I'm not even fostering peace in my home. So mindfulness practices to me are foundational. They're fundamental to my ability to do something constructive and clear and helpful out in the world beyond my front door. So I think this is a time to, because so much, you know, I think about the news and I'm cautious, as many of you I know are, about how much news I take in. On the one hand, I don't want to be uninformed. I'm not going to bury my head in the sand about what's happening in my community and in my country. At the same time, if all I'm doing is watching it, then that sense of hopelessness, helplessness, despair is overwhelming, and that's not helping anyone. But if I turn off the news and then I turn it back on and I, you know, what has changed? What new disaster has arisen? Who has died, right? What turmoil am I facing? And is that worse, right? Is it worse to watch it and be in a state of despair or to be shocked every time I turn the news on and see that some other horrible thing has happened? But again, you know, one of the things I think Tara Brach says this about mindfulness is that, you know, the ocean's not afraid of the waves. And if I'm the ocean, the waves are all of those things that I'm seeing in that 24-hour news cycle. And I do think that if anything's different from previous times, whether the circumstances are better or worse, it is that constant access to the pictures, the video, the audio, the conversations about the turmoil all around us. So I think there is a reason to be cautious because the waves are hard to withstand, but trying to be the ocean, trying to be at peace is worth our while. So a big order to go back to basics. So let's start by talking about our breath. And, you know, we talk about breathing with awareness, being aware of our breath, because when we do that, it can be calming. It can allow us to focus our mind. It can enhance clarity. So when we do this exercise, and I hope you'll join me, we remember a couple of things. First, make the exhalation longer than the inhalation. And the easiest way to do that is count to maybe 3 or 4 or 5 on the inhale and 4, 5, or 6 on the exhale. And that was the one thing, right? Making it slightly longer and pausing at the top. When you get to the 4, pause, and then exhale. So this is mindfulness educator Lori Cameron's 3 deep breaths. And with the first breath, all we do is pay attention to our breath. With the second breath, we try to notice any place in our body, body awareness, so important, and relax. And then we notice any place we're feeling tension and we relax. And then the third breath, let's set our intention for this moment, not an intention for the rest of our lives, not even an intention for the rest of the day, but right now. What would be helpful to you in terms of an intention for this moment? Okay, so here we go. 3 deep breaths. Breath number 1, just pay attention to your breath. Breath number 2, notice any place you're feeling tension and relax. And breath number 3, set your intention just for this moment. Okay, thank you for joining me in that. So we're talking today about some fundamentals that I've been talking about in these last 5 months of podcasts about mindfulness. So the most fundamental thing, what's the definition? So mindfulness is being able to bring your full awareness to being alert to and bring your full awareness to the present moment without judgment. So it's two parts. It's full awareness to what's happening right now without judgment. I first came across the idea of mindfulness years ago, maybe 20 years ago, when I was teaching courses in college level classes in interpersonal communication. And I'd been doing it for many years before that, but about 20 years ago was the first time that a textbook talked about mindfulness. And what drew me initially to the concept was that within the world of teaching students about interpersonal communication, there's a real emphasis on what is it we know about and how is it that our interpersonal relationships are shaped by our internalized notion of social norms and conventions and expectations. And mindfulness, and the way it was presented in the textbook, was an effort at challenging that, to say, yes, we have internalized social norms, conventions, expectations that we assume others have about us and about our behavior and how we interact in the world. And as a result of that, we can often be in a kind of mindless state. We kind of go through the motions. We're on automatic pilot. We have all that kind of language about that. And so mindfulness educators early on, and we're talking about the idea of mindfulness being an opportunity to do two things, to be aware of the extent to which our behavior, our reactions, our thoughts are within the construct of social conventions and norms and expectations, that we're kind of fitting ourselves into that. And that through mindfulness, we can question whether or not those conventions, norms, expectations are really meeting our true needs and allowing us to express our true self. So those are concepts that we have, that we've talked about a little bit, and we're going to talk about a little bit more in this hour. So I used to teach that, and then many years later, I found myself feeling deeply stuck. I was unable to figure out what I wanted to do with my time and my talents. I was unable to see beyond my perception of what I thought the world expected of me. And I came back during that time to mindfulness, or maybe a more accurate way to put it is that I took Martha Beck's life coach training program and mindfulness re-entered my life. And it's been by embracing mindfulness practices that I am different. I am not stuck. I'm not governed by fear. I'm not trapped by my perception of others' perception of me. Am I free all the time? No. But I am capable now, and I have the strategies and the tools and the ideas to practice and to in a way that keeps me from the kind of downward spirals of self-criticism and feelings of hopelessness that I once experienced on a regular basis. So bringing our attention, our awareness to the present moment without judgment. Again, as I say in my intro to this show, it sounds simple, but it's devilishly difficult. So when we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk more specifically in a more concrete ways about what it means to really bring mindfulness practices into your daily life. What are some ways to do it? What are the benefits, et cetera? So I hope you'll join me after the break. I'm Mary Angela McGuire, and you're listening to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio.
What would you do with the power of community? How do you create your own rituals? Tune into Living Your Gifts with me, Susan Huff, Ancient Applications for Modern Times, the second Wednesday of each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Our lives begin with the stories we are told and the stories we tell ourselves. Storytelling is the key. To learn more about me, visit LivingYourGifts.com. That's LivingYourGifts.com.
The Knowledge Book, currently studied in 39 countries and 15 languages around the world, accelerates our evolution, takes us out of depression, offers universal truth, protects us, and makes us stronger, both spiritually and physically. So if you are interested in the Knowledge Book, visit usa.theknowledgebook.net and tune in to the Knowledge Book Radio with Marge Potasik on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
It's time to get your life back on Burn Bright Today with Jennifer Marcinelli. tune in each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Learn to move from the darkness of burning out to the light of burning bright. Jennifer is redefining stress and the energetic causes of burnout, shining a light on process to get your life back. For more information about Jennifer and her work, visit burnbrighttoday.com.
We remember a time when you could simply form a thought and it would manifest. The harmony was forgotten, but it is returning now. The Power of Inspiration and Awakening Radio with Julia Griffin on TransformationTalkRadio.com each second and fourth Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific will take you on adventures through the heart and spirit, exploring who we once were. This intuitive healer studied under the guidance of wolves, learning from their wisdom to master a higher frequency for a new state of mind. Visit OneTrueSelf.com.
How do you feel? Just okay? Well, how about you tune in and get ready to be more with The Healing Hour with me, Doc Martin, every third Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. I'm ready for your questions, and I can't wait to help you find the answers. Every month, we'll have a new live call-in show with innovative topics and a powerful hour of healing. To learn more about me, visit DrSharonMartin.com. See you there. I'm going to be here. You won't want to miss it.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back. You're listening to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio. I'm Mary Angela McGuire. And today we're going back to the basics about mindfulness so that we can bring our full attention to it in what is, I know, for most of us, a very trying time, whether the things like the pandemic are having an immediate and direct impact on your daily life, or whether it's a little bit tangential, but nevertheless, all of us are experiencing directly or indirectly the impact of all of the things that are happening in 2020. We may be trying to hide ourselves from that and bury our heads in the sand, but that's probably not the best strategy of long term. So that's why I do this show, so that we can gain the kind of resilience that comes from a mindfulness practice. Mindfulness, bringing our attention, our awareness to the present moment without judgment. And I always think, for me, the best contrast is if you are a person who drives, and maybe before the pandemic, you were a person who drove to work or to your kids pick up at school or someplace every day, maybe twice a day. Such a routine that you realized sometimes that you had gone from point A, your home, to point B, the work, to work or the school or the grocery store, and you don't remember anything about the trip, right? Maybe it was 5 minutes, maybe it was 30 minutes, but you were not present in the car when it happened, or at least your mind wasn't. You were very far away. And that's what a mindfulness practice really addresses, is what does it mean? And it's not just driving, right? There are lots of times in our life when we, in a sense, check out, or without in any intentional way, our mind has drifted very far from the present moment. Well, is that a problem? Might be your first question. Maybe it's a boring drive. Well, I would argue, yes, it can be. It can be dangerous as all get out, right? Because that's, I'm guessing, a lot of what happens when people have accidents, because they're lost in thought. I mean, sometimes now, modern day, they're on their phones. But even just, I think, a mindlessness about routine tasks can put us in a place where we make mistakes and bad things happen. So that's one reason that we might want to be a little bit more mindful, even in something like driving our car. But it's also because of where our mind goes in those moments. And that's, so a key concept beyond the definition of mindfulness is the idea of becoming a student of your own mind. That's a phrase that I use in the intro to the show, and I use throughout the show, throughout these broadcasts. What does it mean to become a student of your own mind? Right? It means to become aware of and notice where your mind goes when it's in that kind of mindless place. So I noticed when I started to practice mindfulness that on those routine drives, I had a tendency to be in what I call one of the three R's. I was rehearsing conversations I would anticipate having, often conversations I never had. I was reviewing conversations I'd already had, often with a very critical eye towards myself or the other person. And I was revising those conversations. I was thinking I should have said about that. So that's where I really noticed my mind went in those three, in a kind of mindless moments. And often it was driving, or it was doing housework, or it was, you know, vegging out watching television, right? That's sometimes why we binge watch. Are we really watching the show? You ever tried that? Have you ever tried to watch television just to watch television? To just concentrate on the program in front of you? Not have your phone in your hand, not make a to-do list, not review a conversation you've had before, but just watch the show? My suspicion is all of us would watch less television if we did that. But that's kind of a different topic. So noticing where your mind goes, becoming a student of your own mind, is very important because of the next thing I'm going to talk about, two steps down. But that's just, so what is mindfulness, right? Awareness without judgment. Where's our mind going, right? It's not in the present moment, and it's often in a very judgmental space. And the next aspect then, I think, that I've been talking about a lot and is really important, is having body awareness, right? That our body is kind of an early warning system. And when we often are maybe not in that kind of mindless driving, but maybe we're in a routine argument that we have with our partner or our kids, you know, those unwanted repetitive conversations that we have, one of the ways that we know that's about to happen, that we're in a kind of rut in this conversation, is a kind of early warning system from our bodies, right? The tension, the clenched jaw, the balled up fists, the flushing, the feeling of heat in our bodies. Well, that's our early warning system that something's off. And so becoming a student of your own mind is also the other part of that, really, is becoming a student of your body. And some of us, more than others, are really trained in those social conventions I mentioned earlier to ignore our bodies, right? Where maybe it's because in your family, intellectual engagement was what was really promoted. That's what really mattered. And so body stuff, being physically active or being athletic, that was not valued. And so you think of yourself as all in your head, right? Or maybe it's because your family taught you is you're a man, right? And masculinity means that you don't get hurt. And if you get hurt, you don't pay attention to it, right? Walk it off, that kind of mentality. So there's lots of ways in which we're, various ways that we're trained from early childhood to ignore our bodily reactions to things. Especially if we think they're connected to our emotions. Eek, right? So that's the second part of that. So it's training your mind and your body, or training yourself to be aware of and notice where your mind goes and also how you feel in your body. So, you know, the concrete suggestion I've given many times, and I hope you've tried this, right? Put the alarm on your phone for 2 or 3 times a day over several days. When the alarm goes off, stop and ask yourself, where is my mind? What is my mind doing, right? And what? How do I feel in my body? Now, it won't always be at a particularly important moment, right? You might not feel tension in your body. Your mind might not be racing. But if you do it often enough, you start to notice, what are your individual habits of mind? Where does your mind go? And as you start, if you ask the body question, then when you start to see the relationship, right? So my mind is racing, I'm panicking, I'm doing a lot of self-criticism, and wow, I really feel it in my chest, right? Or I'm zoned out and I feel lethargic, right? I'm just zoning out watching television, making a mental list, or having a mental argument with somebody that I'm probably never really going to have, and rehearsing it, but I feel kind of in my body. Right. So if my body is an early warning system, one thing that this mindfulness practice does is that I can start to notice when I go there, because my body tells me, and that gives me this opportunity to intervene. So the place that our mind typically goes, though, and I've mentioned this first, is this notion of my habit, which is review, revise, rehearse. And it's really that place of judgment. So I think that's one place that our body, or that our mind often goes, is a place of judgment of ourselves or others. A second place is worry about the future, what's going to happen. And of course, right now, in this kind of cultural moment, I think that's what a lot of people are really struggling with, is something bad seems to happen every day, and it gives us this sense, and lets our mind kind of goes out there and often to say, what's worse? What next? What next? And what if? What if? What if? Right? What if this happens? What if he does this or she does that? Or right? So a lot of future worrying, and that can be very draining, right? Debilitating. It can lead to despair. And then there's the one of my personal favorites also, which is wallowing in the past, right? Really rehearsing, repeating what Martha Beck would call fondling those stories of injustice and hurt and shame from our pasts. And really spending a lot of time there mentally, regardless of where our body is, right? But in our minds, we're stuck in the past. So as we think about this, awareness to the present moment, becoming a student of our own minds, noticing where our mind goes and how we feel in our body when it goes there, and recognizing that for many of us, there's a kind of pattern. There are three places that our mind typically goes: judgment of ourselves and others, worry about the future, and wallowing in the past. And when we come back, I'm going to talk about a strategy that I've discussed before of how to come to full awareness of that, how to do what the Buddhists do, which is to talk about the idea that we are not our thoughts. It's a very challenging idea to say we are not our thoughts, because whose thoughts are they, right? I have an answer for that. So when we come back, we're going to talk about the idea that we are not our thoughts and how that concept can help us to become more mindful and to allow ourselves to gain more inner peace. So I'm Mary Angela McGuire, and you're listening to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio. I'll see you right after the break.
Are you ready to put down that drink or drug for good? Are you struggling to maintain your recovery from addictive behaviors? Do you need help with a family member or loved one who's in early recovery or battling addiction? Get the help and guidance you need by arranging a recovery recharged phone session with me, Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, certified life and recovery coach. Call 1-800-889-1757. Make an appointment today. Or go to my website, pushybroadfromthebronx.com, and click on the link that says Recovery Recharged. Don't wait. Get the help you need today. This is Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Yeah, yippee-skippee to that, baby. We're not done yet. Some of us are out here to educate and inspire. This year, 2020, is the year we gotta show me the money in the cash flow. I'm Dr. Pat. This is the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By.
Visit thedrpatshow.com.
The vibration of change. That magical place where life shifts from struggle to ease, from stagnation to forward movement, from old ways of being to new ways of becoming. If you're like I am, it can be rather elusive to get there, but when you are in it, you feel it down to your very core, don't you? And it can positively affect everything in your life, from your relationships to your health and well-being, from your career path to your abundance. From the quality of that inner connection to the fullness of your self-expression. On the Christine Upchurch Show, we explore ways to get into that vibration of change with experts in the fields of consciousness, psychology, spirituality, health, healing, and science. Join me, Christine Upchurch, every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on KKNW AM 1150 and Transformation Talk Radio, and learn new ways to step into your vibration of change.
Hi, everyone. I'm Mary Angela McGuire, and you're listening to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio. Thanks for joining me today. We are doing a Back to Basics show on mindfulness. And so we've been talking about what are some of the core principles and how we can use those principles in our daily life to help create more inner peace so that we can bring more peace into this troubled world. So, mindfulness, awareness of the present moment without judgment. Bringing our awareness to the present moment without judgment. becoming a student of our own mind, understanding in moments of mindlessness, whether it's a mindless drive to a routine location or a mindless argument that we've had 1,000 times with someone we love, where is our mind going and how do we feel in our body? And asking ourselves that question as often as we can when we notice, either because we put an alert on our phones so that we have an opportunity to actually ask those two questions every day and really become a student of our own mind that way. But even beyond that exercise, it's a good practice to have because it helps us to do two things: to notice those habits of mind, right? Do I typically find myself in a place of judgment of myself and others? Do I find myself often wallowing in stories about the past? Do I find myself worrying about the future? And then the second question is equally important. And when I'm noticing that my mind has gone to some particular place, how do I feel in my body? As I start to become aware of how my body reacts when those ideas are coming towards me, I can allow my body to be that kind of early warning system to alert me to say, oh, hey, wait a minute, we're going someplace we don't really want to go. But the idea that is challenging about this is, not only are we often told not to pay attention to how we feel in our bodies, especially if our bodily response to something is related to, oh my God, emotions, but we're also just out of that habit. I mean, we just think we're kind of trapped with these ugly, unhappy, worrisome, fearful thoughts. And this is where this Buddhist idea is so important and really challenging, which is the idea that we are not our thoughts. How is it that we are not our thoughts? It's such an interesting insight. And you can go back to a program I did several months ago to really flesh this out. But the idea, the quick idea that I think has been really helpful to me, is to think about, to first of all, notice those habits of mind so that I can see how often it is that I am in a place of judgment or fear or worry. And then if I say that is not my true or authentic self, well, then who are those voices? And this is where the story that Beck tells in her training, that she credits to others, but she tells it in her training in a particular way, which is about this idea that we have an internal dictator and an internal wild child. And that dictator is that voice of criticism that's always, can always find a reason to say that we've come up short. Right, can always find a reason to worry about the future, that we're going to fail, that things are going to get worse, that we're going to be miserable. Yikes, right? That voice is always capable of that kind of worry and fear. And the wild child is in some ways the wallower, right? The child who doesn't really understand what's happening around her, in my case, and is looking for, I don't know, a bar of chocolate and a nap and a hug, right? I think of it as the voice of pure need. And what Beck says about those two voices, that there's a couple of things to really pay attention to. One is that they exist. And you start to notice, when you really think about that metaphor of the child and the dictator, and you think about and become a student of your own mind, you really can start to see how those two kind of archetypes really fit what's happening in your mind. So I'm noticing them. I'm noticing that they're active. I'm noticing what activates them. And I'm noticing, if I can bring, and we'll talk about this more later, but if I can bring this a sense of compassion or loving kindness to those voices, I can notice that those voices are ineffective in many ways, but do have my best interests at heart, right? They're not my enemy, but neither are they particularly helpful. And then as I start to give that some real credence, right, then I find myself having to ask, hey, wait a minute. If I'm not the dictator and I'm not the wild child, who am I? And I am the observer. I'm the witness, right? That authentic, true self, that is who is watching and hearing those two voices. And that is the way in which we are not our thoughts, right? We are not those fearful, angry, tortured, wallowing, worrying, judging thoughts. So if I can bring that kind of awareness to it, then I can start to create some space between myself, my true self, my authentic self, and those voices. And when I can do that, I can have an attitude of loving kindness towards those voices, but I can also allow them, they're going to say what they're going to say, and I can accept that, but I don't have to let it take me away on a journey, right? I don't have to be ground down by those voices. I don't have to go spinning off into worry and fear and anxiety. I can notice them, I can acknowledge them, and I can let them pass through me and the feelings that come with them. Because when I start to notice the voices, I'm also going to start to notice how I feel in my body when those voices are at me, right? And that's a very important thing as well. And what I have done, and I've talked to clients about this often, and it seems I notice over time as we talk about this, like me, they kind of create characters that go with these voices. So, you know, I have this rather large histrionic operatic singer who is my internal critic. She's, I don't know, she reminds me of a Bugs Bunny cartoon. And the wild child is just like I had a Raggedy Ann doll when I was a kid, and she not too great looking anymore. And I kind of picture her, you know, slung in a corner, feeling really, really sorry for herself and sad and just pure need, right? Just wants a hug and a chocolate bar and a nap. Really helpful. But all that's great and it makes sense and you might even believe me and maybe you've tried some of this out, but you know what's hard? And I know this is hard because I know it's hard for me. I've never met a client for whom it wasn't hard. And so I'm going to guess it's hard for you too. And that is what I think of as the great leap. And the great leap in all of this is giving yourself permission to notice how you feel and where your mind is going, right? I think we resist that. We resist giving ourselves permission to notice, to be aware of what's happening for our bodies, where we're feeling tension or anxiety or fear, and where our mind is going. And I have two kind of simple examples of that that have just happened in the last couple of days. So I was talking to a friend, and he's really noticing these kinds of things. He's really aware of this. And one of the things that's happened is because he's so much more aware of where his mind goes and how he feels in his body, he's really shifted around his work life so that he doesn't have meetings that are back to back to back. Because he knows if that happens, he gets hungry, he gets tired. And by the end of the, maybe, I don't know what his, he didn't quite say, but I don't, I'm guessing like meeting three or four, if he's still back to back to back and hasn't had a break, he's not very good in the meetings, right? He kind of loses his steam. He's probably a little bit fretful. He's not really thinking as clearly as he would like. And so he has been able to, and this I know is hard and it probably sounds easier and maybe it's easier for him than other people in other meetings, but this is that thing about giving yourself permission to notice and to not always just accept what comes at us in terms of other people's requests. Because if I give myself permission to notice how I feel in certain situations, then I might have to change those situations and I might have to ask others to accommodate some of those changes. And it won't always be easy and may not always be possible. But what my friend noticed is that he was doing really well because he had a little bit more space between meetings. And then one day he allowed the meetings to go back to back to back and he fell apart by the end, right? So it's an amazing thing that he's really noticed this. He's really changed his work life so that he has, I mean, it's treating himself in a humane way. And that's kind of a low bar, right? But we often don't do it. We think that we have to be super people all the time, never let up, never let anyone see we're struggling, even though the things that we're struggling with are, you know, at the bottom of Maslow's hierarchy, right? It's food. I need to eat. I can't go 6 or 8 hours worth of meetings and not have a snack or use the restroom or just take a walk outside and get some fresh air. Those are very small things to ask. And so to give yourself permission to say, I need that and I'm going to take that, I think is really powerful. And so I hope you'll think about that example, but also in this larger sense of, in general, giving yourself permission to notice how you feel and where your mind is going. So I've been thinking about this whole back to basics of mindfulness, I was reading somebody that I used to read when I was teaching mindfulness in an interpersonal communication class ages ago. Her name is Suzanne Langer, and she was an early mindfulness scholar. And one of the things about this kind of noticing how you feel, noticing where your mind is going, practicing mindfulness, is it can be dismissed sometimes because people say, you know, it's just flaky and silly and it's self-indulgent, which just makes me want to ask them about their inner critic who thinks that taking care of your basic needs is self-indulgent somehow. But that aside, it just takes too much time. And Langer had this great observation about the idea that mindlessness is somehow uses less energy than mindfulness. And she said, you know, it's like an arrow. And once an arrow is released, it doesn't matter what direction it's going in. It takes the same amount of energy to get there, right? It doesn't matter what direction our energy is going in, right? It takes the same amount of energy to go in a negative, fearful, worrisome place as it does to bring awareness to the moment without judgment and to take care of ourselves in a different way, right? That's just how it is. So we want to ask ourselves then, so what do we replace that mindless habit of judgment, worrying, and wallowing with? And here's my quick example of what I replaced it with this morning. So, and kind of noticing where my mind tends to go. So my partner and I have one of those coffee makers where it has the little pod, but it's that reusable pod. So I love that. So I feel like less of a planet killer. She made her second cup of coffee and she went off to work. And so I went to make my second cup of coffee and I put milk in the mug and I turned it on and I went off and did some other chore and I came back and it was the ugliest looking coffee I have ever seen. It was pale. It was really obviously just kind of milky brownish water. And I thought, I don't think I put too much milk in it. What happened here? And just as I had that question in my mind, I realized I hadn't changed out the pod. I hadn't put fresh coffee in the pod. And where did my mind go? I think I'm a weirdo, but that's okay. I thought of my mother and her eating burnt toast. I thought about my partner whom I've seen eat things I wouldn't eat, but she said, you know, that those kind of squishy grapes, I'm not going to eat the squishy grapes, but she'll eat the squishy grapes rather than waste them, right? So I had this cup of brown milky water and I'm thinking, I don't want to drink it, but I don't want to waste it. I don't want to be the person who wastes stuff. So I said, okay, I'm going to try it. Maybe it's not so bad. It was that bad. Yes, it was that bad. And my actual capacity for thinking came on board and I realized, what have I wasted here? Water, time, and a little bit of milk. And then this voice that I didn't even barely recognize said to me, you don't have to do this, right? You don't have to drink this crappy cup of coffee and you don't have to go without your second cup of coffee. It's okay. Just make another cup of coffee. So I did. It was lovely. That's the power of mindfulness and giving myself permission to notice what was happening, to feel the tension in my body, to know all those familiar places my mind goes, all that self-judgment about wastefulness, and let it go and be kind to myself at a pretty low level. So we're going to take our last break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about what are the places our mind can go instead of worry, judgment, and fear. I'm Mary Angela McGuire, and you're listening to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio. I hope you'll join me after the break.
Conscious Confidence Radio, a timeless wisdom with Sarah Main. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio and join Sarah on an adventurous journey to the deeper level of meaning to move beyond today's world of constant change, confusion, and uncertainty beyond the shadow of fear. This hit show explores key concepts such as confidence, values, and attitude in a dynamic way. To learn more about Sarah and her work, visit sarahmain.com.
Do you sometimes feel overwhelmed by your mind? Powerless when it seems to spin in worry circles or bombard you with self-critical thoughts? Do you want to learn how to master your mind and feel more in control of your life? Listen to Dr. Friedman's Empowerment Radio, Shift from Confusion to Clarity, Self-Doubt to Confidence, and from Anxiety to Peace and Balance. Dr. Friedman and his many guest experts share the insights and tools you want to live with greater ease, joy, and purpose. Tune in to Empowerment Radio every first and third Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time.
Break your snooze button habits for good with the Soul Stretching Sisters on the I Am Power Hour with me, Terry J. Walker.
And me, Dr. Pat, on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Pump up your spiritual muscle as we share stories.
Aspire higher.
And live a whole lot larger.
To help you unleash your powered up,
pumped up, I Am Soul Stretching Success.
Anything can happen when we take to the airwaves.
And all things become possible during the I Am Power Hour.
What would you do with the power of community? How do you create your own rituals? Tune in to Living Your Gifts with me, Susan Huff, Ancient Applications for Modern Times, the second Wednesday of each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Our lives begin with the stories we are told and the stories we tell ourselves. Storytelling is the key. To learn more about me, visit livingyourgifts.com. That's livingyourgifts.com.
Yeah, yippee skippy to that, baby. We're not done yet. Some of us are out here to educate and inspire. This year, 2020, is the year we gotta show me the money in the cash flow. I'm Dr. Pat. This is the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By.
Visit thedrpatshow.com.
Hi, everyone. I'm Mary Angela McGuire. Welcome back to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio. Our topic today has been the basics of mindfulness, kind of a review of what I've been talking about these last 5 months as I'm trying to be a person who on a mindfulness journey who's supporting others in their work as they go on that journey as well. And we've been talking today about the importance of becoming students of our own mind in order to be in that place of mindfulness, of awareness, alertness to the present moment, without judgment. So if we know where our mind goes, we know how we feel in our body when it goes there, then we can start to separate our authentic self from those voices of the dictator or the sad, lonely child who doesn't understand what's happening around her, and be able to see those voices as having good intentions but bad strategies, and not being us, but being often the voice of culture, family, societal conventions and expectations that cloud and distract us from our more authentic self. But that authentic self is the witness to those voices. We can see them, we can acknowledge them, and we can allow their anxiety and fear to pass through us, rather than taking us off for a ride or forcing those feelings down, knowing that they're just going to pop back up somewhere else. So Suzanne Langer talks about the idea that mindfulness does not take more energy than mindlessness. But it's important to ask the question then, what if I'm not going to spend my time, as a client once said to me, what am I supposed to do with my mind, right? If not criticize myself on the walk home about everything I might have done incorrectly at work that day, right? Or every judgment I make about myself, how else should I spend my mental energy? Well, good question. There are three concepts that are very closely related, and it kind of depends on who you read to know how they're going to, which of these topics or pieces of language they'll use. But one is thinking about using our energy and our mental activity in our present awareness, right? Noticing what's immediately present with non-judging awareness. And that's language that Jonathan Faust often uses, is non-judging awareness. What does it mean to go through our days and things that we're normally working on without the pressure that we put on ourselves to judge everything around us, right? What is that like? And there is effort involved initially. It takes an effort of will. We're so in the habit of judgment that it can be difficult. I notice this, you try to take a drive and not judge either positively or negatively, right? Not judge the other drivers, not evaluate everybody's yard, right? Not look at every dog and decide whether it's a cute dog or a not so cute dog, right? But to just be there with what's happening and see it and be aware of it without judging it. And the deeper part of that someone like Byron Katie talks about is loving what is. What does it mean? And what would it look like? And how does it feel to be accepting, not in a passive way, but to allow what's happening to be true without fighting it in terms of our mental health and our mental activity. But to say that doesn't mean I'm not going to act on this to oppose this, but I am not going to get caught up in the fear and worry that doesn't actually lead to constructive action in the world. Another kind of language that you might hear around this of what to do with that mental activity is loving kindness. Loving kindness for ourselves and others. And this is a really powerful and difficult thing to do, particularly around something like politics, of trying to meet someone, even if it's someone you're reading about rather than a, a face-to-face person, but someone whose values seem to be quite in opposition to your own. If I bring a attitude of loving kindness to that situation, what happens? I don't change the other person's mind, I find, but I don't also then get caught up in my own energy being used, being angry and fearful about that other person, because that doesn't change that other person either, right? My anger and fear doesn't really change that situation or transform that other person. And it's just a terrible use of my energy, and it makes me unhappy. And me being unhappy and not at peace doesn't bring more peace into the world. And then finally, compassion. And Tara Brach has a beautiful book I hope you'll look at called Radical Compassion, Compassion for the Self and Others. And Jack Kornfield, my favorite quote, always says, compassion that doesn't include the self is incomplete. So those three concepts are very important in terms of mindfulness. They're a way of thinking about where is my mind going to, what am I going to do with my energy if I'm not in a state of worry, judgment, and wallowing in the past? Well, I'm going to try to bring an attitude of loving kindness, of non-judging awareness, of compassion to each situation that I meet. And it's an effortful thing to do. It is also a very productive and positive thing to do, but it takes real effort on our part to bring that attitude, those attitudes every time. And then the last thing about that I want to say is that is equally, that I think comes from those three concepts and is extremely difficult, I find, for most people to even really allow themselves to think about, is the idea that I am enough just as I am. That, you know, that's kind of at the foundation of all of this, is this idea that I am enough just as I am. And because of that, I can treat myself and others with compassion. Because of that, I don't have to be in a constant state of worry and judgment. I don't have to allow the dictator voice to tell me I'm a failure. I can hear her saying it, but I don't have to take it in. I don't have to be taken away as if in a hot air balloon by that fear and judgment and worry. But no, I'd love for you to just say it to yourself right now. I am enough just as I am, and feel the squirming inside. Feel how hard that is to do, and then keep doing it every day, every day, every day, every day. You know, I love this quote from Rod Smith, awakening is available within all areas, right, of our lives, our family, our work, our community. One doesn't have to be spiritually prioritized over the others, one of those places. The Buddha, he says, is found not only in special environments or practices, but within all activities, reactions, thought, and emotional responses, right where we are. Loving kindness, compassion, non-judging awareness, every moment, those things are available to us. And it is through these practices of mindfulness that we can come to allow ourselves to be in those spaces over and over again, and to not fall back into fear, judgment, and worry. So thanks for being with me today. These are the kinds of things that I talk to clients about. And so I am a coach, a life coach, and I really work from a place of mindfulness practices. You can find out more about my work at McGuireLifeCoach.com, or you can email me at MaryAngelaMcGuire.com. That first conversation is always free. We'll talk about what you'd like to achieve through coaching. I'll describe the inquiry method and the mindfulness method that I use with clients, and then we'll have a short session so that you can determine if working with me will serve your needs. You can visit my website, as I said, at McGuireLifeCoach.com, or you can email me at MaryAngelaMcGuire@gmail.com, and we'll set up a time. I hope you'll join me next Thursday at noon of Pacific and 3 p.m. Eastern time. My guest will be, every other week I do the Voices series. So next week, my guest is Mr. Toriano Sanzoni, and he is an entrepreneur. He worked for many years in the music business, and he's also a podcaster. He's from Chicago, and now his work, he does really transformational work as a dog trainer. And he has some fascinating things to say about the relationship between those who have dogs and the impact that our mental state has on not only on our dog, but that our relationship with our dog kind of reveals us to ourselves. So I think it's going to be a great conversation. He's a really interesting guy, and I hope you'll join me. Until next time, please be curious about your mind. Please pay attention to how you feel in your body, and please be kind to yourself. Thanks for listening to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio.
And we're
to nothing but clear. Mindful Living with Dr. Mary Angela McGuire on Transformation Talk Radio. Join me next time as we continue to practice mindfulness and challenge ourselves to change. If you'd like to find out more about my work or contact me, please go to my website, McGuireLifeCoach.com. That's McGuireLifeCoach.com. See you next time.
The music for Nothing But Now was created by Salt Theory.